welcome to the weekly wind down. I don't know what that face was.
Sorry.
All of you made a face.
I couldn't find my Skype screen. I was like,
Karen made a face.
I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
I'm Renee, and I don't have a name yet, so we'll open it up to the floor for that. How's that?
I love whenever Erin like introduces herself, she really emphasizes the pal, like gal pal. Like, yeah, every time, man. Every time. Gal pal.
Something that doesn't really show off my accent so much, but what are you going to
do? It always gets thicker when you drink, too.
Oh, my God, right? Like, yeah. By the end, you'll be Jackie.
Jackie. So tonight we are joined by Renee. She's a Bold Strokes book author. We're going to get into your listener questions for her and a summary of her newest release. But before that, we're going to complain about the drinks we're having. I am drinking, it's called Sleight of Hand, or it's made by Sleight of Hand Cellars, and it's called the Spellbinder. It's a Columbia Valley red wine, so it's from Walla Walla, Washington. Blah blah blah, dark red characteristics, Bing cherry, blackberries, that finishes soft tannins. I don't taste any of that. Oh, it says that's the perfect everyday wine that drinks well alone or as an accompaniment to a broad spectrum of foods, from meaty fish as opposed to, I don't know, skinny fish.
Fishy fish.
Yeah, like tuna and salmon to pork and chicken. What about turkey? Like, what if I was having a burger? Yeah, nah. Yeah.
Don't do the turkey.
So, I mean, it's okay. I'm sure it'll be better in an hour. I'm not overly impressed as of yet.
Not impressed with Washington wine. So I Walla Walla wine. I picked up this bottle at Costco. I thought it was a champagne, but apparently it's a sparkling white wine. I don't know the difference, but I'm going to try
champagne. I'll tell you the difference. Champagne is made in Champagne, France. It's the only real champagne, and everything else is sparkling wine.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Boom,
so we
knowledge.
Went to the champagne place in Napa.
The Champagnery?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just sparkling wine. We just call it Champagnery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? I have been lied to. Holy cow. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to try to say this. I had to look it up on Google Translate because I was like, I'm going to butcher the shit out of this. So I'm going to say it's Sehura ve Yaldas. Boom. Mic drop. But that's not what it looks like.
Say it
it's
backwards.
Like S-E-G-U-R-A. It doesn't look like it says that. But so far, it's really good. It tastes pretty champagne-y. It's very fizzy. It popped the top, was like a champagne top.
That's fun.
I'm really into champagne right now. I don't know what it is, but I dig it.
You're living your best life.
Mm-hmm.
Summer Jean.
You're living that Summer Jean life.
Yep.
I like it. I am drinking this Essentially Geared Bubbles. It is a canned wine. I totally fell for the packaging on this one because I'm trying to try all the like canned wines because I feel like it's a very millennial trendy thing happening right now. Their can is so cute because it's black and then it has all these little like multicolored little sparkly things coming up from the bottom. Super cute. But I went on their website to see the description because I left the can downstairs. So I'm not drinking it out of a can. I'm not a monster. Their website is so funny. So they have several different things.
You're so bougie.
I'm not white trash. I mean, come on.
Okay, it literally says pair with spring rolls, chicken and waffles, and creamsicles.
Huh.
And creamsicles, eh?
Now, that they ran the gamut on that, unlike fucking Walla Walla, Washington over here. Yeah.
It says every journey is an opportunity for a unique experience along ours, whether it's sourcing grapes from their favorite growers, to how we package our final product, we always seek the uncommon. So, like, whatever. But you can scroll through. No, I'll get there. Stop. But as you scroll through their different wines, it tells you what it pairs well with. So this, I have to share this because it's funny. So, like, their Sauv Blanc, you can pair with Thai green curry, tuna ceviche, and corn dogs.
dogs. Nothing pairs with corn dogs. Like,
yeah, their rosé pairs with pizza by the slice, barbecue, brisket, and falafel, so I'll be trying that. It's just so funny. Their red pairs with street tacos, grilled cheese, and tater tots.
This is how they get people, though.
My alley.
I know, right?
I know. Their shard pairs with fried chicken, ramen noodles, and nacho supremes.
That's the most college thing ever.
Genius marketing. I really love it. And yeah, it's fine. It's just fine. I like it.
It's just fine.
Another glowing review. Yeah.
It's just fine. Stacey Dempsey. I actually, sorry, I'm drinking beer tonight because whatever. I'm drinking Florida Avenue Brewing Company, which I really love the can. I don't know if you guys can see it.
Well, cute. You just shoved it in our faces. So, yeah, I mean.
Look at this can. Look at it. So, it's called Passion of the Heights. And there's, like, a few different neighborhoods in Tampa that have Heights on the end of it. So, we went to a bar on Friday called Shuffle. And it was just shuffleboard, which was really cool. It was so awesome. I had the best time. But I had this beer there, and they're in Tampa Heights, so they have Passion of the Heights. But it's hibiscus wheat ale, which I'm totally digging. It is so good.
Too.
Yeah, it is totally right up your alley. It's an American wheat ale, so it's super good. But it has hibiscus, rose hips, citrus zest, and a hint of cinnamon. And I'm going to be real honest with you. I taste it all. I don't know. Beer's just like easier for me to pick out all those little flavors than normal, but they have a really great selection of different beers. Florida Avenue Brewing Company does. Like, they have a raspberry Berliner, they have a blueberry one and a cucumber one, which I think is really awesome. But they also have like a super smooth lager. I'm really getting into a lot of
alcohol.
I'm awful.
I
really like the local breweries more and more here. Like, I used to be super into back home in Chicago, Northwest Indiana, but now it's like we're finally kind of dabbling in all that because I'm borderline alcoholic, but whatever.
Fun fact.
I'm a beer snob.
I'm a beer snob.
Budweiser, for the first time in its history, is the number three beer in the country because of how much the younger generations like craft beer. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it made the top 10, but apparently it has. So
I mean, they were in talks to purchase Cigar City Brewing, which is in Tampa, and that's a very large
brewery. They're trying to buy up all the small breweries now.
They actually went with a smaller company because they didn't want to be like so mainstream, which I think is awesome. I think that's part of what makes them so amazing. Like, Cigar City is one of the best breweries in the area, and I freaking love it. Like, The we did Florida Avenue, we did Cigar City, and we did Three Daughters, which is in St. Pete. And it's like, these breweries are so awesome, and they make these amazing beers that just have so much flavor and so much depth in them. I really enjoy it.
Your
and
next
so
book
far,
should be about like a brewer.
I might actually.
I want half the royalties.
Oh, for sure. It's like $5.
You should come to Albany. You should come to Albany. There's lots of microbrewers here.
I would love to. I freaking love brewery. Like,
drink your way through Albany.
I will absolutely take that.
So,
Jeff.
There you go. Renee, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, tonight I am, you know, I have to work tomorrow. So tonight I'm on the light side. I'm drinking Jam Jar, which is a sweet Shiraz. And I'll read the description. I did not know that that was a requisite, so you'll forgive me for...
You can say it tastes good.
It's really good. It's one of my favorites. Packed with juicy berry flavors and hints of dark chocolate. Why Jam Jar makes a versatile partner for everything from cheeseburgers to chocolate pudding. Best served slightly chilled, it offers a luscious fruity goodness in every sip.
That pairing is just as weird as mine.
Every time I have chocolate pudding, I'm like, you know what tastes good with this? Wine.
Wine.
That's probably true, though.
Yeah. The perfect pairing.
Actually, you're right.
Agreed.
About that. Yeah.
Especially dark chocolate and red.
Mm-hmm. Do enjoy some dark chocolate and port.
Okay.
Ooh,
so.
So that's not what we're talking about.
Renee Roman. Your newest release is Where the Lies Hide, which I really like that title.
Thank you.
So why don't you tell us what your new release is about?
It is about a woman who discovers after her parents have died that she is actually one of a twin. And she had no idea that she has a brother out there. And she hires, this is Sarah Peters, and she hires a private investigator to try to locate him because now she's all alone in the world. And she doesn't like it one bit. And she goes through the internet and searches all these private investigator sites and wants one close because she wants to be able to, like, keep on top of where the things are. No, go away, Sass. And so she hires Camden Stark of Stark Revelations, which is the name of...
Clever. Clever. So I'm already onto it. Yeah, clever.
So the story, Cam has kind of a shaded past of her own and isn't quite sure she wants to help, but she decides it's a job and she'll take it on. And there's a lot of interesting things that happen between the two of them. And Cam, though she tries to pull away from Sarah and all of her needs, she can't do it, especially once there's a threat that comes into play for Sarah.
I like it.
That sounds really freaking awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so we got a few listener questions for you. Chelsea wants to know, what was the first book that made you cry? I assume that you read, not that you wrote.
Carly's Sound by Allie.
Oh, God, that was such a good book, wasn't it? Oh, my God.
That first scene.
Heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching book. Allie crushed that one. Yeah.
Wait, I cried. So you cried right in the very beginning?
Yeah, absolutely.
You cry several times throughout that book. It is so good.
I have to read it. I've been trying to read more Allie Valley because I know she's amazing. I know, whatever. I'm trying to read you too. God, you're on the top of my list.
Listen, I've threatened my wife she's going to have to move out if we don't control the books, and I have no intention of controlling them, but we have donated a good section of them recently, but you've got to, I know, I'm behind in everybody, so.
Allie Valley is one of the few authors that as soon as something she writes comes out, I read it right away. She is probably my favorite one at Bold Strokes. She's so good.
Well, you're my favorite.
Oh, shut up, Erin.
Is it suck up time?
Always. No one believes her.
Stacey, I really enjoy your book.
I enjoy yours too, Stacey.
Thank you.
Oh, you guys are adorable.
I too have a bad book hoarding problem. You can see behind me. It's gotten out of control. So you have written a couple of intrigue thriller type books. Is that what you like to read too? And what are your favorites?
I read every genre that I can think of right now. I did not always. But I also do proofreading for Bold Strokes. Oh. So I forced myself to widen my horizons and read a variety of writers and genres. And I found I really enjoyed them. So I don't limit them anymore. I read everything I can get my hands on.
Do you have a favorite?
A favorite author?
A favorite book. Just all-time go-to. All-time
favorite book. Yeah, there's one that'll I'll never get over liking. And that is Passion's Bright Fury by Radcliffe. Hmm. That one has resonated with me. I can tell you the sequence of things that happen in it, and I've only read it once. I plan on reading it again, but and just the feelings that were evoked with that story was something that stuck with me.
Rad may know what she's doing.
She may. I'll have to give her props on that.
Do you find that, you know, like, because I like reading books again, you know, that I've really enjoyed. Do you find, though, that when you find a book that's just like, it is the most amazing book you've ever, that you just don't want to reread it only because you want to keep that same, like, spark inside of you that it's like you want to reread it and you will eventually, but for right now you just want to keep that lust and love for it?
I have reread Proxima 5 4 times in the last Vaughn. Year.
Yeah, Missouri Vaughn. Didn't she win a Goldie for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she won all the Goldies.
It was just, to me, it was just, oh my God, I know I've missed something. So I went back and I read it again. And then we got, Missouri and I got talking online, and then I went and I read it again. And so, no, I find I enjoy reading them actually more the second and third time, because sometimes I'm so propelled to get through the story because I want to know what happens.
Oh, yeah.
I know I've missed things along the way.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, and that's why I like a hard copy. I mean,
there's just something about, like, the smell and turning the pages, yeah. And it's like, you know, comfort food.
And yep, it's like, wait a minute, where did that happen? And, you know, kind of in the book where it happened, like, you know, 3/4 of the way through, or, you know, at the beginning of the book, so you can go back and find it again. And I'm sorry, I can scroll and scroll and scroll on screens, and I can't ever find what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. I feel like around the holidays too, there's certain books that I'm like, oh, it's Christmas time. Like you guys are gonna make fun of me, but I like to read Pride and Prejudice every Christmas. I know Jackie doesn't like it, but I enjoy the flowery prose. I'm a fan of it.
Jane,
I'll admit I've never read it all the way
I really
through.
Like Jane Austen. I like that sort of, like,
which surprises literally no one.
I know.
Not a single one of us.
Very, like, strong female but still feminine writing. Like, I just, it makes me feel like Christmas, and I don't know why, but that's one of those ones that I like to, I don't know, I just like to. But you know, you have that with certain books and certain movies and stuff where you're like, it just makes you feel comforted.
Yep.
I like that. Okay, so we have another question from a fan. This one's from Mel. How did publishing your first book change your writing process?
It's a lot harder than I thought. You know, I...
Editing, man.
yeah.
Fucking editing.
I have to say that it was painful and I cried and there was a lot of things going on, and I think I did 7 rounds in my first book of edits. And then I changed... editors, and I was assigned to Victoria Villasenore, and
she's my editor.
We definitely found,
I love her,
a way to work together that was really helpful for me to grow as an author, and I needed that. I needed, you know, you look at this because, and I'm anal, I mean, I have these printed out with every editing note that I've ever gotten, and I compile them so that I don't make that mistake again.
Well, that's smart.
Jesus.
Can you send an email about that to everyone?
Instant regrets.
And then this is Sandy's edits. I mean, Cindy's edits from the final. So I will be compiling them at some point. But yes, every book I learn something, and that's the beautiful part of it. And the other part that I've learned is that I'll never know it all, and that's okay.
Sure. Yeah, that's a positive outlook. I cry my way through all my edits, so.
Oh my God, same.
Do you think the editing process is so rough to weed out the people that can't hang?
I mean, probably, but we just still keep hanging on. We're like, they don't hate us yet.
I think that it's not for everyone, even though I think that there's a lot more people that think that it's for them and that they may find out it really isn't along the way. I don't know. You know, I tell people I have 2 full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Although writing is my love, so I don't really see it as a job, but it's a full-time occupation. And if you're not prepared to do 2 jobs full-time, you're not going to make deadlines.
Yeah.
And I love deadlines.
I also think the other thing people don't realize is if you're not prepared to have your work torn apart, writing, publishing is not for you.
Yeah. I learned that when my first one from Vic came back with, I don't know, probably 1,000 or more, you know, comments or changes or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, what have I done? You know, kind of like, I'm never going to get through this, but I did. And we did. And
the thing I learned about Vic, though, is I've worked with a few different editors now. Vic's comments are always right. Like, she's always right, even though I'm like, fuck. And helpful. Yes, even though I'm like, God damn it, I don't want to change this. Vic is always right, where I don't find that with other editors, where I'm like, what are you talking about? Anyway, Vic's always right, so I love having Vic.
That's so funny, like, one of the things that you're saying, like, when you sent, like, my first book, with, I know I'm not the one being interviewed, but I just feel like I need
to say please,
this.
Aaron. Steal the show.
I just mean, like, when my first book was all, like, developmental edits. So it was, like, I had probably 15, like, back and forths with my editor before it was ready. And it's so crazy that you say that you kept all those notes, because I literally, I don't remember, my first editor no longer works with Bold Strokes.
Neither does mine.
Yeah, so there you go. So it's like, we'll have to talk later to see who it
was.
But like the first time I was like, I don't know what you want me to do, you know? But so I love that you like keep the notes and that you try to like learn from that, because in my first edits to my next book's edits, like I had a completely different editor and a completely different everything. Mm-hmm. And so like, I had no idea what I learned in the first book. I learned nothing. I don't know. I don't remember anything. I'm such an idiot. So I love that you kept everything. I think that's really awesome. It's a lot of paper, but I like it.
Well, these will get thrown away once I condense them into, you know, I just capture the part of the thing that was commented on and then the comment. And then I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
You want to ask your question, Aaron?
Oh, for sure. I would love to. Are we doing a podcast? This question is from Jen. What was an early experience where you learned that language had power? We didn't ask that yet, right?
No.
No.
You're real tuned in, Aaron. I love it.
Aaron's already drunk. It's okay.
Okay.
I would have to say that my mother did not finish school. You know, she was a woman of, you know, she grew up, she was born in 1927. She had to quit school and go out and work, but she was an avid reader. And she read... she was a coat check girl at one time, and she said she would sit and read.
Very Mrs. Maisel. I love it.
All night, you know, under this little light. And she could read a book in a day. And when I got old enough to have conversations with my mother, she said to me, if you can learn to love to read, life will be so much easier for you. And she handed me a dictionary, and she handed me a book, and she said, have a good time. Bless you. Aww. And I did. And I've been an avid reader ever since. And I used to write in school all the time, but, I never thought about writing as a profession. You know? Who knew? 50.
I like that story.
I got my first contract at 50.
I think that's awesome.
That's sweet.
I know. That is really sweet.
That
was a great story.
No, Wait, that's a lie. We're seriously writing at 50. I got my first contract in 2016.
What age were you?
Don't ever ask a woman her age, Erin. Good God.
I don't know. I was born in 59. Add it up.
Jesus, Erin.
I don't care.
At this point, like, I think that's freaking awesome. Like, she has done so much in her life, and now she's like, boom, 57. What? Fucking mic drop. Am I drunk?
Yes,
you're drunk. I am. Awesome. So Riley wants to know, what's your favorite underappreciated novel?
Ooh, that's a tough one. It would have to be goodness gracious, I didn't know this is a tough question now.
I'm going to keep this one in the back, our back pocket, so when we have other people on, we can ask them this one.
Oh, good.
I like this question.
I don't want to be the only one that's, you know, on the back burner. I do have Running with Scissors.
That's a great book, actually. I really enjoyed that one. I read the sequel to it. What is it? Drowning, something dry. I think it's just Dry. And I thought Running with Scissors was so much better. That's a good book.
So I would have to say that one because I picked it up on a whim, and then I was like, wow.
Yeah, it was good.
Really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would have to say that.
Stace?
So I thought this was a really unique question. It's from Tanya. She says, what did you edit out of your newest release?
Actually, I had to edit in more than I had to edit out because my black moment wasn't black enough.
you have Vic. Yep.
What's a black moment? Explain to us, non-authors.
So there's a formula that like romance novels typically follow, and there has to be a moment in the story where you think you don't know if the two main characters are going to end up together. It's like their moment of, are we going to do this? It's the dark
like moment of doom.
Yeah.
Do or die moment.
They have some large fight and it ends up.
And you know they're
going to
end up together, but it's,
Yeah.
And I loved Vic's note. Nope, not big enough. I'm like, what? I don't know. And she's like, you've got this. Come on. And I'm like, oh. So I wrote that like 3 times until it was big enough.
Vic's the best. She'll send you notes like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, her favorite with me, and I'm going to put it in every freaking book we do together. No dancing tongues. Do not have dancing tongues.
Oh, like their tongues dance, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
like that kind of.
You try to be original when you're writing these sex scenes, and there's only so many ways you can, so many adjectives you can use.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, what do you do with your tongue? Well, you hope it dances with someone or something at some point in the evening.
So she sent me a little, and I'll have to show it to you guys. I have to send it to you. She sent me this little cartoon of tongues with, you know, arms and feet and stick figure tongues and dancing with music notes. And
that's
she's
funny.
Like, never write this. And I just read 3 different books that had it in it. So I really want to cut them out and send them to her, but not now.
Isn't that too passive aggressive?
No,
like
Vic's a good sport. She'd think it's funny.
She is.
Yeah.
I love it.
I like it a lot. I just feel like now all I can see is like 2 little stick figure tongue situations with like 2 twos and like the whole shebang. I really like that. Okay, so let's see. Are there any authors that you disliked at first but then grew into? Which is funny because we were just having a conversation about people who don't like things and then continue to read them.
We were just talking about
that.
I do not. Well, I tried to read Nora Roberts and I just cannot get into her writing.
Yeah,
I mean, head hops. Like, I don't know. Have I been brainwashed? I don't know. But I think in a certain way now. And I don't know if it's because
bold stroke standards. I'm
a writer. Yes, exactly. And I don't think that's a bad thing. But it's like, I do one of these, you know, and I'm like, Jesus, where is she now? Kind of thing. And I, you know, and I'm like, all right, I'll put that down and I'll read it again in a week. Yeah. You know, and then I read three pages and I'm the same way. I'm like, Jesus, I can't keep track of who's talking. Where are they? What are they doing?
Do you notice that, like, you start to pick out things that, like things that you're getting notes on or things that you're having to edit? Do you notice, like, those bad habits that you've gotten rid of in other people's writing now? Because that would drive me nuts.
Yeah, I make notes.
I was like, oh, why'd they do that?
You know who's real bad at, like, cliches and obnoxious? Nicholas Sparks.
Oh,
God.
I don't read him.
I only started reading him because of The Notebook. I love The Notebook. It is one of my favorite movies. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I made the mistake of starting to read him.
No, I like Nicholas Sparks movies.
Eh.
Right.
Not all of them.
The Notebook.
The Notebook is great.
But the lucky one was Zac Efron.
Yeah. He does the same. He legit does the same characters over and over and over again because he's just a machine turning them out for profit. And he uses the same phrases. And I mean, I'm sure we're all guilty of it because we have linguistic like tendencies. We talk certain ways. We think certain ways. So you're bound to find those patterns. But his are like every other page. And I find it so obnoxious.
That's how 50 Shades of Grey was.
Oh, God. Oh,
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, every
great story. Great story, but the writing sucked.
It's so repetitive. Yes. So repetitive.
And the she had worse than Dancing Tongues. Let's be honest.
Yeah, oh, my God.
I mean, come on.
Can you have sex a different way just once? Just surprise me. You know what I mean? Like, just surprise me. That's all. I love the story itself.
Yeah.
If I didn't take into consideration, you know, the basic outline was really interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
But oh my God. And yes, I edit every book I read now.
So I love that.
It's hard not to, right? Like you just see things
I'm like, ooh. Why would she do that? Or why would he do that?
Why did the editor not catch this?
Okay, so we were driving.
Where were the proofers on this? Did I proof this? And I go back and I look at my list and I'm like, no, I did not.
We were driving to the National Aquarium the other day and my wife was sitting in the back seat and she was reading a book and I'm not going to say who it was by, but it wasn't you, Aaron. So don't, I know how you're like, it wasn't me.
I was like,
she was reading a book and she goes, you have a much better editor than this person. And I was like, I know, right?
Thank God. I'll tell
you who later.
All right, good. You know who I just want to mention this person. This is one of my favorite like romance authors is Nicholas Evans. He's the one that wrote The Horse Whisperer.
Oh, I love like, The Horse Whisperer.
I read that. The Smoke Jumper, which is another one of his, is so good. The Horse Whisperer is literally my very favorite book ever. Like,
you haven't read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo yet. I'm telling you. I just read it the second time.
Jackie, your books are above that book on my list. I'm sorry.
Well, it's about time, Aaron. I mean, it's about
time.
What
are you going to be mad at me because of this? Let's fight. Come on. Hey, you'll win.
No.
We'll never put him up. Anyway, who's next? Is it me?
It's you.
No. You can't chew on that. Hold on.
Oh, man, Renee, your life sounds like mine. Just telling an animal they can't chew on stuff.
Well, you know, it's my headset wire, you know, and it's like, hello.
Oh, they're probably not good.
My dog ate a $70 laptop charger. I get it.
Oh, my God, for real?
Okay. Maybe I'm paying attention now.
Okay. So, all right. So this is just a question that we decided to ask. So, do you hide any secrets in your book that only a few people will find?
Ooh, like little inside.
Actually, there's a mention of my previous book's titles in every book that I write. So
that's a very Taylor Swift move.
I was just going to say that. How very TS of you.
There is a mention of a character in Epicurean who's in stroke of fate. There is the words stroke of fate, I think, I'm pretty sure, in Where the Lies Hide. And there will probably be in my next one something about Where the Lies Hide in Bonded Love.
I love it.
I do. It's like a hidden Mickey.
I love it.
I love it.
It's kind of like my signature, you know?
That's fun. Yeah. Well, because then it's like a fun little thing for the people who read all your books. Like, it's just a fun little nod to them. Like, only they're going to get it. And I love it.
It's like how Pixar does that and all their movies. Yeah. It's always like a throwback or some sort of like nod to a future movie. Like, I think that's really awesome. It shows that you're not just writing just whatever. Like, you also want to keep your fans involved. I think that's really awesome.
So you hear about writer's block a lot, but do you ever get reader's block?
No. I read 4 books at a time.
Wow.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
My head hurts just hearing that. Yeah.
I have
so impressed.
I have Kitty. This is Maisie, just in case I end up.
Oh my gosh, guys, she's got the cutest little kitten.
And,
oh my gosh.
And she's gonna be like a terror right now because she was napping, but now she's awake.
I've got one of those.
Go play. I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Do you ever get reader's block?
No. I have 4 books going at any time. I have one upstairs, one downstairs, one at work, and one in my bag because I have to read. I mean, if I'm not reading and I'm just sitting, it's a waste of time to me. So I love to read. Yeah. So no, I don't ever get reader's block. I've always got something going.
I'm jealous of you. I get reader's block sometimes. I go long, like, spurts without reading anything. And I know I know it's not good for me, but I sometimes I don't want to do this. You know whose fault it is? It's Trump's. I get too caught up in what's going on in the world, and I'm like, bah.
The only time I think about that idiot, excuse me.
He who shall not be named.
Is, you know, I do the feed in the morning and... And then I do some CNN as I'm eating breakfast at work. Why, I don't know. But that's basically then I'm like, boom, I don't have time for you kind of thing.
You're really making the right decisions over there. I saw me doing that.
Like, I've read 2 books in the last month, maybe. Like, I just can't. I cannot write and read. Yeah, I can't do it. Like, I start, like, the characters start, like, becoming the characters I'm reading, and then I'm like, well, fuck, I can't do that. Shit.
Same.
Oh, my God. And then I'm, like, erasing.
Well, then you're going to love this. Oh, when God. I write, I have 2 computers. I have one that's open to Facebook, the internet, whatever. I have music playing, and then I have my bigger screen where I write, and if I get stuck writing, I go and play a couple of games on Facebook, Words with Friends or whatever.
Renee, you are the world's greatest multitasker. I'm just going to say it. I'm calling it. It's over for everyone else. Just quit. Yeah.
Game over.
Game over for everyone else. So where can everybody purchase your books, get in touch with you? Let us know.
So Bold Strokes Books, my publisher, all my titles are available there, including my erotic shorts and the anthologies that I'm in. Every place books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know.
All of the places.
All of those places. I'm on Facebook, Renee Roman. I'm on Twitter, Renee Roman 2018. I have a website, Renee Roman Writes. And my email is reneeromanwrites@gmail.com. And I'd love to interact with my readers and anyone who's interested in the craft.
Awesome. So, moving on to weird fucking topics of the week. And I'm going to surprise all of you and not do a political one. But we are going to start with Stace.
What?
Because she called dibs on that one story.
No, not her, but you did something not political.
I know. Oh, listen, pot. This is kettle. Calm down. Calm down.
Okay, I called dibs on this one because, holy shit. So the headline itself, 85-year-old woman caught having sex in public with 5 elderly men. Okay? This happened at the same time.
We're running a train.
At the same time.
Cheers to her. Connecticut. Wow.
Right? The men were 82, 67, 62, 75, and 62. All 6 were arrested and charged with breach of peace.
Oh.
They breached something.
Yeah. They concerned citizens. called the cops to report a public hookup happening in the wooded area. Apparently, this place, it's the Grace Richardson Conservation, is known for public hookups. And apparently, it's like on the top 10. It's a website for like the top 10 places where you can have public hookups and not get caught. And the police there found out that it was on the website. And now they're patrolling the area. So one lady with 5 men got caught.
You know what? Good for her.
It's just not right to turn that in. Like, you know, leave it private.
Could you imagine? Right? Could you imagine right? being that cop and showing up there and being like, I do not get paid enough to break this up?
I'd let him go. I would 100% let them go.
We would have a stern conversation about STDs and protection. And then I'd be like, guys, I don't care what you do. Just be safe.
Yeah, well, this is why we're not
worried about pregnancy, obviously.
Well, no, but the STDs are very rampant.
I was just going to say, STDs are actually rampant in the senior citizen community. Yeah. Because they
don't have pregnancy.
They grew up in a generation that they only wore condoms because to avoid pregnancy, they weren't thinking about STDs. And so now they're just boinking everyone. And bro, that.
Which is crazy because, like, how many people in that, like, generation died of syphilis? You would think they would at least be worried about that.
0% of me wants to fuck in a park. I don't know if that's because of my profession. Right. It seems dirty. It seems uncomfortable.
No, I think it's more uncomfortable in sand, but I'd still do
it. I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
Sign me up,
Renee. Hey. Yeah. Hello. Could you imagine if that was like your grandma?
No.
Like, oh, grandma was
in that. Now, see, those are visions I don't want. I don't want it. I can't unsee that.
But you know what?
Grandma did the choo-choo in the conservancy.
Good for her. You don't know. It could have been a bucket list thing. Like, who knows? Like, good for her.
I mean, yeah, I guess you got to do what you got to do before you die, right? Fuck whatever you want.
Yeah.
Listen, you live in Florida. Let's not even get into the headlines from Florida. Like, you guys...
blow your minds.
We want to talk about the pot and the kettle. Florida.
Just not even like a weird news story. Stace like tagged me in some post where fucking alligators are climbing fences now.
Right? They've evolved climb chain link fences. Alligators are
because
just like
they've
scaling
morphed.
Walls.
Yeah, they've morphed. They have, like, hands and opposable thumbs now, apparently.
Listen,
like,
alligators
fuck?
Have not survived since the time of the dinosaurs to be taken down by our chain-link fences, is all I'm saying.
Yes, ma'am.
That
I
chain agree. Fence is going to keep out a lot of
things. It's like the palmetto bug.
That motherfucker's as big as my head. I saw one time that was 3 inches long. I almost died.
That's what she said.
What are those big winged insects you guys have in Florida? Because when we went to Disney, is that what it is? Yes. No. Because we went to Disney World, and those things were everywhere at our resort.
They live in the palm trees. Hence palmetto bugs.
Gotcha. I did not subscribe to that when I booked my magical vacation.
You need to bring a mallet with you when you go to Florida because that's the only way to kill them.
Yeah. Literally. Like, we had one. We just moved down here. Went into our, like, where Katie Gale's daughter was, like, in her bedroom. All of a sudden, we get this blood curdling scream. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I jump up, I go, and I see what's... She's, like, standing on her bed, and she's like, I can't, what the fuck? And I'm like, what's going on? And I look, and there is a palmetto bug, and I wish I had something to scale. Like, here's a pen, okay? This is a pen. It literally was, like, this big. It was...
Yes! No.
It was so big! And I was like, what the... And I looked at it, and all I saw was its antenna moving, and I was like, fuck this. So I woke up Gail, and Gail was like, whatever, what do you guys need? And I'm like, we've got a big bug going on. And she's like, what kind of a big bug? And I'm like, it's huge. And she's like, oh, whatever. She saw it. Her mouth, like, dropped open. I was like, close your mouth. It's going to fly in there. It was awful. We ended up vacuuming it up, and then we went downstairs, emptied the vacuum cleaner, and had to, like, jump on it to
kill it. And it flew right back inside?
Probably. It's probably... the closet right now. Who knows? It probably moved with us. It's our new friend Sean. I don't know. Sean
the top. Stacey, what's your choice of top of article?
Okay, it has a little bit of a sad ending, but did you see I didn't do it. But did you guys see the thing about the guy tried to escape from prison by wearing that mask and dressing up as a...
his daughter?
So it has a sad ending because he ended up killing himself. I saw that when I went to follow up on it.
Didn't tell me this was
going to
be a downer kind of.
I didn't mean to. But he literally somehow got, like, a mask and a wig and, like, a little girl's outfit and tried to, like, toddle his way out of prison. Which, I mean, rest in peace. But
on his knees. Ooh. I don't know.
But
I think a little guy.
That's probably a quicker way of getting out of prison is getting on your knees and trying to. Try.
Oh man. But I still am just on the, like, I'm just waiting for the Area 51 thing to happen. So that's, like, weird news that hasn't happened yet. I'm just waiting because that's September, right?
Yeah.
That's my future weird story. And there's a town that's, like, really close to there that's, like, legit, for, like, preparing for this mass exodus of people, like, coming to Area 51. So I know it hasn't happened yet, but, like, can you imagine all the weird stories that's going to come out of that? I'm just,
It's going to be all the parties, the before parties, mm-hmm. that is going to be all the cool, like, hype.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, I'm so out of touch with things. I just... work and write. And
that's,
I read.
That's better.
Read
a lot. That's read better.
Lot. You're reading four books at a time. We'll give you a break.
So mine is a bear was caught trying to steal a trash dumpster from a Colorado pot dispensary. And I like this for several reasons. One, they nicknamed the bear Cheeseburger, which nice. I find A, endearing, and B, pretty on the nose. Yeah. And two, like, how fucking smart is this bear? He's watching all these, like, stoners go in and out of this mm-hmm. building, and he's like, I bet you they got some good food back there. Lo and behold, it's like a treasure trove of just, like, little tiny bits of goodness for him to take in. And I love everything about it. There's actual footage of Cheeseburger going into these trash barrels and just being like, no, no. Okay. Yeah. Like he has the actual option to be picky because there's such a buffet of just ridiculousness in there. And I love it. And I love that they haven't actually stopped him. So that's my,
okay. Would you try to stop a bear?
No. Excellent point, Renee.
There's probably some sort of, like, pot resin he's also eating. So yeah, he
could be.
Got the munchies.
Right. He might be mellow.
I thought he was going to be Smokey the Bear. I was, like, waiting for it, and it didn't happen.
Missed opportunity.
Okay, I do have to tell you, this one wasn't so weird. It was just cute. Like, when I was looking up, like, weird news stories or whatever, there was a story about an obese hedgehog that goes on a diet because he was too fat to curl into a ball. And I was like,
Same.
His name is Jabba.
Aw, Gene.
He can't make a spiky ball.
This guy sounds like me.
I know.
Man arrested. arrested after botched castration surgery in Florida.
Florida.
You know
Florida.
What? Like I told you before, you guys are out of the electoral college until you can get your shit together.
The first line of the article is, "That's nuts." I was like, I fucking love this article. It's crazy. It was an elderly Florida man with a bizarre castration obsession was busted by cops for allegedly performing a botched at-home surgery on another man whom he met through a site on the dark web for those with eunuch fetishes. There's literally a fetish for everything. I'm just saying.
There is really someone out there for everyone.
You guys know about the Florida man challenge.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Florida, man. It's America's penis. Let's
go. Have you guys? Oh. Have you guys done the Florida man? Have you done the Florida man challenge?
Yeah. Where you have to like put your birth date in or whatever.
Birthday. Did you guys have a good Florida man?
I don't remember.
I can't even remember. I'm sure I did.
Mine was Florida. Florida man arrested for committing murder over imaginary girlfriend.
Sure.
Oh, sure. Here, wow. Mine is mine is Florida man ends police standoff for a slice of pizza.
Same, bro.
No, I think I'm a woman.
Florida is not part of the United States. You do know that, right?
I love the weather sometimes.
There's other states.
There's other places to live.
Yeah,
there is.
Did you hear that one about where Florida messed up the entire election and then we had George Bush as president?
Which time? Florida's always messing up the election.
Oh, man. The last time a bunch of fucking ballots were like found in a gym closet. Why? Why? It's just so fucking
I bet you can talk him down Florida. With a slice of pizza.
Well, the thing is that unfortunately, like, you know, a lot of the drugs come through there, so everybody was probably just high and we don't need these.
Not been
high
for
anything.
So, what's everyone obsessed with this week?
Oh. I'm going to steal yours. I'm sorry, Jax, but.
Oh, you got the look. Okay. You got stink eye. Look.
I finally got to read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, and Jax recommended it like 4 podcasts ago, and I got into it, and I was like, this is okay, you know, like, it's all right, it caught my interest, and then I thought I knew where it was going, so I was kind of bummed, and I put it down, and I was reading a little bit at a time, because I was trying to drag it out. And by the end, I read, like, the last 3 chapters in an afternoon because I was so hooked I couldn't put it down. Mm. I cried for the first time in my life over a book. Oh, it was so good. It was fantastic.
I can't recommend this
and
book enough.
I know. I thought I knew where it was going. And in the middle, once I realized that it was, like, it had a gay thing going on. I thought that was kind of like the big
reveal
of the book.
But it's not the gay. It's not, yeah. It's not like.
Right. I thought that was the big like shtick of the book. I was like, oh, okay. But then as I kept going, I was like, no, that's not the reason for the book. It's not like some big, you know, gay reveal. The book itself has like so much other stuff going on that I was like, floored, and it was so good, and everybody should read it.
I already downloaded
it. Like $10 on Amazon, go get it.
Let me say this, I do not add books into my top 5 all willy-nilly. I do not. But
willy-nilly, Walla Washington,
this book, I'm telling you right now, it bumped Anne Rice out of my number 2 spot. It is my second favorite book ever written, only behind The Handmaid's Tale, which is the only book I've read like a dozen times. Mm. This book is, there's so many like little, it's such a light read and easy read, but there's so many moments of like true life wisdom. I can't even, like the part where she talks about divorce is just a piece of paper, heartbreak, I will feel sorry for you. Heartbreak is true, excruciating pain. I was like, it's so good.
So everybody knows, it's an old woman who wants to write her memoirs, and she's a Hollywood star.
Picture like Marilyn Monroe if she had lived to be 78.
Right, exactly. Yeah. From like the 50s, she starts, and so each chapter is one of her seven husbands, because everybody's like, oh, you just had a lot of failed marriages, like, sucks for you. And she explains why, basically, she needed to marry each of these husbands. And it was a leg up. It was helping a friend out. It was so many things that it was like, yeah, she had seven husbands, but for damn good reason. And it made her who she is today. And God, it was good. It was so good. And all the like old Hollywood type stuff was amazing too. Cool. I love that.
My favorite part about this book is she is such a beautifully flawed character. Like, Evelyn Hugo is not a good person. Like, you don't get the feeling that you're like, wow, she's like who I'd want, you know, to baptize my child. Like, no, she is it, but she's unapologetically flawed. Like, she will tell you, do I feel sorry for anything I've done? No, because it served the purpose at the time it needed to, and it got me where is she. I've never encountered a character crafted as well as Evelyn Hugo was in this book. It is fantastic. Like, I can't even, I just finished it for the second time. It's so good. So good.
I went through half my library the first time, and
I rarely read them twice because I have so many to read. In this one, though, I was like, I'm going to go back and reread this because there's so many little snippets of like life wisdom, and it's just as good the second time. So good.
I'm very excited to read it.
I thought I knew the first two or three chapters. I was like, I already know what's happening. I know why she picked this girl to write her memoir. I already know how it's going to end. Meh, it's going to be another one. I should have known if Jax was recommending it, it was going to have a good ending. But I was like, and it still read well. Like, I was still going to finish it. But I thought I knew the ending. Nope, didn't know the ending at all. Could have never guessed what was going to happen.
That's awesome. I downloaded it. The minute you said to us, Jackie, you were like, blah, blah, I went and on Amazon, I bought it and I downloaded it on my Kindle. I was like, I'm totally going to read it.
Now she has 652. I know. Books.
I did too. I have it.
I push this book on everyone, y'all. I push it on everyone because it is so good. She's unapologetically feminist when being a feminist wasn't cool. Like, and she doesn't know she's a feminist. She just is because of who she fundamentally is as a person. Mm-hmm. She has like, once you read it, we'll talk about it. But it is. Yeah, it is
just
so
go
good.
Read it. Just
yeah,
read
just
it.
And I read. I went on that whole. You know how I was telling you guys I fell into that Goodreads hole. I went on like the 1-star reviews for it because I was like, who didn't like this book? Mm-hmm. And it's just such like superficial garbage of why people didn't like. Like, I can't even. Anyway, it's a love story. It's a mystery. It's a like a timepiece. It's fantastic. I wish I could have created something like this. And this is like, I've never read any of her other books, but I feel like this is her once in a lifetime.
Yeah, me too.
Like, this is, she struck gold. She absolutely struck gold writing this. It's
like fantastic. During the GCLS panel, I wish I would have wrote that. That would be your book.
No, because I wouldn't have done it as well as she did. Like, it was phenomenal. I have never read a character so perfectly flawed where you are
still rooting for her
unquestionably and still being like, you kind of suck. Like, you just feel it through the whole, like, the shit she does to people is horrible, but you pull for her through the entire thing because you get it. You see what she was up against. She was fighting so much sexism and so much, like, she was just different. She was born before her time. She was a revolutionary. Like, you pull for her through the whole thing, even though she did horrible things to people. It's so hard to write a character like that that people know they shouldn't like but love. So
that I would agree.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Stacey.
Okay. So I had something different, but then this song came on this morning and I sent it to you guys because I'm so obsessed with the idea of it, and I'm just gonna talk about it because it's legit one of my. You know when you're like, oh, I have like my top like. Whatever, three favorite songs that I think are just the most beautiful songs ever written, and I love what they say, and whatever. One of them is the Jeff Buckley version of Hallelujah, which I just, like, I'm so...
I agree. About.
Which sounds like a religious thing, but it's totally not, and if you haven't ever heard the Jeff Buckley version, like, it's just the most beautiful song
Katie Lang's version's better.
Is no, the Jeff Shrek? Buckley...
Katie
Lang. It is the one from Shrek, but the Jeff Buckley version is slightly different.
Okay.
It has some different verses, and it's just, it is different. But the other one to me is The Origin of Love from Hedwig and the Angry Inch. So if you've never seen the movie or seen the play or whatever, you should. It's amazing. But just the idea of the song to me is so interesting. So the whole song is basically about how, like, way, way back when, like, Earth was formed, not created, when it was created through the Big Bang, that there were three sexes. And so there was, like, the Children of the Sun, which was basically, like, two men, and then the Children of the Earth, which was, like, two women, and then the Children of the Moon, which was, like, a man and a woman. And that, like, the gods were so jealous of all of these, like, creatures that could just have all these wonderful conversations and were so happy or whatever, that Zeus used his lightning to, like, split them all in half. And so, basically, like, when you meet the person that you're supposed to be with, it's the half of you that was, like, separated by Zeus. And because they were jealous of all this, like, wonderful, amazing things that were happening. So there's a line in this that just speaks to me so much. Let me find it, where it says, so, like, basically, like, you find that person, whatever. And it says that, it says, I swear by your expression that the pain in your soul was the same as the one down in mine. Like, it's so, like, poetic, and, like, I just get it, and how that pain is the one, like, that pain that you both feel is the pain, like, where you were separated when Zeus, like, used his lightning to separate everybody. And, like, I just, like, I, the whole idea of that and how it explains sort of, like, sexuality and love and everything, like, I think it's just so beautiful. And, like, in the last verse, it says, it was a sad story how we became lonely two-legged creatures. Like, I don't know. That song just speaks to me. I think it's so beautiful and so eloquent. And in the most recent Broadway version, Neil Patrick Harris sings it. And I love me some NPH. But if you don't know this song and you're not a fan of any of these things, you should just listen to it, because it's such an interesting description of, like, sexuality and soulmates and that whole thing that I can totally get behind, because it's not in some kind of weird religious situation, and it's not so, but that, I don't know, it just speaks to me. I love it so much, and I just think, like, I don't know, like, one of my favorite forms of writing is music, because I think sometimes there's just a, like, things just speak to you. And I don't know if you guys are like that, but I'm the kind of person, when I'm in a good mood, like, I like to listen to songs that make me feel good. And when I'm sad, I like to listen to songs that make me cry. And, yep, like, I don't know. I love that song so much.
I hear you. I totally love music. Like, music is part of what helps me get past things in my life. Like, there is always a song that I can turn to and go, I remember what was specifically happening to me at this moment when this song became important to me. Like, my very favorite song ever is Shake It Out by Florence.
Yeah.
Because
I danced to that.
It's such a great song. Yeah. But it's like, at the time that it was really super popular, my mom was very sick. And, like, I remember that whole, like, going through, like, her being sick and, like, planning her funeral and, like, planning her, all of that happened during that song. And I remember, like, every emotion happening during that song. And, like, it's always darkest before the dawn. And, you know,
every
the
devil wants
to count
flesh.
Yes. Like, it's so ridiculous how much it means to me. Mm-hmm. And I vividly remember the first time I saw Florence and the Machine. I was at Red Rocks. It was the most perfect
Red Rocks.
Oh my God. It's incredible. The best venue in the world. And it is so beautiful. And I'm there in this area where my mom took me to Colorado, and I was like, I don't want to be here. And then I ended up falling in love with it. So then, like, being there after she passed and hearing the song, it was just the most emotional, like, I feel like in that moment I was closer to her than I ever have been, and she wasn't even here. Like, so music can do that. Like, I totally. Yeah.
It is the only like, external force that rivals the sense of smell to trigger memories and love and, like, lost. It's
Yeah.
That is absolutely the only.
That song has one of my most favorite lines in any song ever. Our love is pastured, such a mournful sound.
Oh my God. I fucking love that. It's such a great, she is such a fantastic lyricist. Her poems and her lyrics are just.
Erin, what are you obsessed with?
So I presently, are we doing what we watch too, or just obsessed
just
with?
Just obsessed with. We're out of time.
I'm obsessed with Euphoria. I am 100% obsessed with it. You told me, Stace, like you were 100% right. Like Euphoria is maybe the best show on television. Like Zendaya is, I can't even, like she is incredible. The idea, this is my whole thing behind it. I love anything that takes place in high school that represents it accurately. And I think that this show represents what's going on in high school accurately right now so well. I'm not there. I don't know. But, like, this is how you perceive it to be and how the media perceives it to be. So the fact that it's happening and just the soundtrack. Holy fuck, the soundtrack. I can't even with the soundtrack. It's so amazing. Like, Every episode had this intense soundtrack, all done by like Labyrinth, which is like a fucking fantastic sound mixer, and he just knows how to he just understands music. I'm drunk, but whatever. So like all of it is just like amazing. Like I love it. I love it so much. I want to rewatch the whole series or the whole season, but it's so deep.
I did.
Did you? Oh my God!
I had to rewatch it with Kai. Yeah, I was like, "You have to watch this. I have to rewatch it."
Was it just as hard then as it was the first time? Because there were some hard moments in it.
It was, yes, but it was more. I was so excited for him to see that I was like not watching the screen. I was watching him.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome. No, that's what I'm obsessed with.
Renee, what are you obsessed with?
Life.
Oh.
I don't spend time watching a lot of TV.
Well, that's because you're reading four books at a time.
And I'm blessed. I have a really tight core group of friends, and we get together once, two, three, four times a week. It depends. Sometimes we're so together jealous. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we laugh, and we cook, and we tell jokes, and we tell stories, and we just enjoy each other's company. And I love to cook, so I'll cook. And I make desserts and you know, sometimes I will bring my books with me and they say, welcome to Yaddo. And I sit in a corner and I listen in and I participate, but I'm still editing and writing and doing my thing and no one cares. I mean, that's who I am. And it's just, you know, and then I have the kitten and my wife and, you know, work. And I don't watch a lot of TV. If I watch 4 or 5 hours a week, that's a lot. That's awesome. I'm obsessed with making the most out of every day. And I don't know. And for me, music is my writing venue. It's just, I pick out an album for each book and I just play it over and over and over while I'm writing.
Do you feel like when you're writing certain scenes, you have to listen to, like, if you're writing kind of a romantic scene, does more like romantic music help? And
no, I just, it's one album. Like right now I'm writing Bonded Love and it's a contemporary romance. My album of choice is Sade, Soldier of Love.
Oh, I like that.
And I just play it like, I'll probably burn out my CDs long before I get the book written, but I don't care. And that's, you know, that's, and I never write out my stories. I'm really bad. I'm a pantser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I've learned that I really do need to know where I'm going at some point along the way.
You're kidding. So, that surprises me with all your binders and notes and everything.
I know. Yeah.
I know, but when I write, I'm like, and this Bonded Love went in a totally different direction than where I thought it was going. And it, you know, they finally, the characters finally shut up at like, I don't know, 82,000 words. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, it took me forever to get there. You know, and I'm like, wow, I thought this was going to end at like 70.
Vic's going to have some feedback about that.
Oh, I'm sure. It's okay. I'm
Vic,
ready.
Put them in your binder.
Yeah, but it's okay. But yeah, that's my obsession is I just, you know. And I don't sleep anyway, so what difference does it make? Menopause has not been kind to me, and
we heard all about the menopause.
I turn 60 next month, and I'm like, you know, whatever. It's just another number.
Sayonara, period.
So,
right?
Oh, honey, that's been going for a long time.
I am obsessed with this week. One, Renee, I think yours is fantastic. All my favorite people live in completely different places, so I wish we could hang out all the time. But we spend probably 6 hours a day talking to each other, which is very weird. If you could see this group's group chat and Marco Polo and everything else, you'd be very surprised. this will surprise literally no one. TS7 comes out tomorrow.
It's like a holiday.
It's like a fucking holiday. So Taylor Swift's newest album comes out tomorrow. And
I love you so much. I love you so much.
You guys can hate on me all you want, man. She's a fucking lyrical genius. I don't care. She's the poet laureate of our generation. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, I'm awesome.
And
stick with your conviction, honey. That's all.
I will stay with it. And I'm super excited to see what she's going to do with Lover, only because it is the first time she has written out from underneath Big Machine Records, and she had complete artistic control over this entire album, and I'm stoked to see what happens. So,
okay, the song Lover.
Bro.
I love
so
it.
Good.
It ripped my heart open.
Dude, Aaron, as soon as I heard Archer, I thought of you, and I was like, Aaron's going to cry when she hears this song.
Oh, yeah. I heard both of those songs, and I cried. That's why I was listening to Lizzo the other day, because I needed to listen to something happy.
And
yeah.
She is the master of weaving secret messages and Easter eggs and everything into her music, and I cannot wait until 12 o'clock tonight when Lover comes out. So I'm super excited. TS7 drops in like an hour and a half. So
are you going to stay up for it?
No, I will listen to it on my way to work tomorrow. I'm not because I'll be too tired. I won't be able to give it my full attention. I will listen to it on my way to work tomorrow. So I am very excited. I know it's like an oxymoron with me. No one thinks I would love Taylor Swift, but I genuinely do love Taylor Swift.
You're the biggest Taylor Swift fan I know.
Literally, it makes so much sense once you get to know you, though. It makes so much sense because, I'm just saying, like, by first glance, you probably wouldn't say Jackie loves, like, look at what you write. Like, you write, like, blow them up shit. Like, you write, like, intense shit.
And T Swift will blow them up.
That is true, but like 90% of Taylor Swift songs move you emotionally. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like it makes perfect sense though, because like I feel like you move people emotionally, Jackie. Look at me, Brown.
I think she's super fucking underrated by critics, is what I think.
I think
she's gonna be one of those entities that in 30 years when people look back at music, they're gonna have a lot more appreciation for what Taylor Swift did for women in the music industry, what Taylor Swift did for artists in the music industry, and just her lyrics in general. Like, just because there's a pop beat behind it does not mean it is not touching and heartfelt. So
to me, it's better that it has the pop beat than the country beat. Because when she had the country beat, I don't think she was given nearly enough credit. And now that she's pop and she reaches so much more people, like, I truly believe, like, I 100% agree with you. Taylor Swift is important. Sorry.
I didn't hear all the messages as well when it was country as I do now that it's pop. And
she's re-releasing all her albums.
Right. And so I'm excited for that because I don't know if it's just that it was, I don't know what it was, but, like, it was just cute and fluffy and whatever, but now when I go back and listen to it, I'm like, no, that was deep, and I didn't hear it when it was country, but for whatever reason, now that she just does, she's flicked all the fucks off, she gives no fucks about any of it, I'm like, and I loved her the whole time, but it's like, even songs like Teardrops on My Guitar, like,
It's so nice. It's so nice to hear her finally find her voice in all of it and not be pushed into a. I mean, I could go on and on. I could go on for Taylor Swift about for hours. No way. I won't.
The rabbit hole is deep.
I won't.
Oh, I know all about Taylor.
Yes. No, I mean, like, I don't. You know what? I never even.
She doesn't have like newspaper clippings.
No, I've never like. I don't even really like her Twitter things or Instagram things or anything because I don't know. I'm just not that person. But I do think she's one of the most underappreciated by critics of like if you were to just read lyrics by Taylor Swift, if they were written in poetry, people would feel completely differently about her than they do. And if
you know what, that's why I like to read lyrics.
Yeah.
Sometimes hearing it just isn't enough. But when you sit down and you actually like look at things, you're like, oh my God, that's so beautiful.
When the Archer came out, I told my wife, I said, this is the saddest song she's ever written, and it's probably the best song she's ever written.
And it's
probably the least amount of words she's ever written.
And it's about Carly. It's about Carly.
I don't think it's about Carly. I will tell you my theory afterwards.
Is it about the band?
I will tell you my theory afterwards.
Is it the girl in the band?
All right, everybody drinks gay.
Yay!
Yay!
All the yays! It was so good.
Okay. Yay. Renee, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
We go off the rails. Thanks for sticking it through.
Yeah, we do. It's all good. It's all good. Laughter is good medicine.
So until next week, everybody, I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Yelp, yelp.
And Renee Roman, make sure to buy her new book.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully it's not the last time you'll be hearing from me.
That's right.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.